Let's share resolutions.
The Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. My New Year's resolution is to save some money. I'm betting I'm not alone. It appears 2005 will be the first year since the Great Depression that Americans spent more than they earned. Like all resolutions, this one isn't as easy as it sounds. Marketplace's Hillary Wickay reports.
Americans' personal savings rate is zip, zilch, bupkis. Actually, lower than bupkis. We spent billions more than we earned last year. Dean Baker is co-director at the Center for Economic and Policy Research, a liberal think tank in Washington. He says the rise in housing values allowed homeowners to take out cheap home equity loans and spend more than they had. He says it won't be easy to admonish some people into making New Year's resolutions to save more.
Their wages haven't been keeping pace with their expenses, you know, and these are necessary expenses. I'm talking about housing, health care, their kids' college or daycare, whatever it might be. And for those people, saving just really isn't an option.
Americans saved between 7 and 11% of their income in the 1980s. That dropped down to about 2% by the end of the 90s. In Washington, I'm Hillary Wickay for Marketplace.
It's really hard to save money when you don't have a job. That's the reality for 2,700 employees of Independence Air. The D.C.-based airline is shutting down tomorrow night after a year and a half. But you need workers to shutter an airline, too. The company's asking a bankruptcy judge for more than $3 million to keep paying 60 employees for a while. A new wave of political ads is hitting television. Wait, there aren't any elections soon. Ah, but next week the Senate holds hearings on Supreme Court nominee Samuel Alito. That explains it. Marketplace's Jeff Tyler explains how much money's pouring into this battle.
A conservative group called Progress for America is spending $500,000 to run this ad on CNN and Fox.
Every day, desperate liberals make up a steady drip of attacks against Judge Samuel Alito.
Today, a coalition of groups opposed to Alito releases its new attack ad, but independentcourt.org won't reveal how much the ads cost. Another liberal group, Move On Political Action, is more candid about its financial needs. It's launched a campaign to raise $150,000 for anti-Alito ads. Larry Noble with the nonpartisan Center for Responsive Politics expects the total spent will be in the millions.
It's now becoming routine to see groups pop up that will easily drop $500,000 on expensive ad campaigns.
If your senator is considered a swing vote, expect to see lots of pricey TV ads between now and next week when the Alito hearings are scheduled to begin. I'm Jeff Tyler for Marketplace.
Let's see, what can you buy with $1,000 in 2006? Maybe a new laptop or 1 square foot of apartment space in Manhattan. The Prudential Real Estate Review says the average price per square foot has broken the $1,000 mark for the first time ever. That's $18 more than last year. The year before, the price went up $200. Investors got word the Fed's interest rate hikes will soon be over, and they got out their wallets. The Dow shot up 130 points to 10,847. The S&P 500 climbed 20 points to 1268. The NASDAQ had a solid gain as well, 38 points to 2243. Today, oil is trading just below $63. This is Marketplace. Texas has some new blood. Up to 150,000 people who fled hurricane-ravaged areas last year. From KUT in Austin, Larry Schooler looks at what those folks could mean for the state's economy.
Economic benefits from the relocations include increased state and local tax rolls and the establishment of new businesses. But Lieutenant Governor David Dewhurst predicts the new arrivals could mean an extra $250 to $550 million a year in social service spending. Even so, economist Ray Perryman says some of the new residents will find Texas a hard place to be poor.
There's a few states around the country that have extensive welfare programs that are state-funded. In Texas, basically, we just don't fund that sort of thing.
That said, the new arrivals could go relatively unnoticed. Hurricane evacuees have dispersed across the state. But new arrivals will probably cause wages to fall for low-skilled jobs and waits to rise at healthcare clinics and other social service providers. In Austin, I'm Larry Schooler for Marketplace.
Which comes to you from American Public Media.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Mellon Financial Corporation, helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize their assets through the practice of wealth management. Mellon.com. The Marketplace Entrepreneurship Desk is supported by the Kauffman Foundation. On the web at kauffman.org.
This is Marketplace. I'm Scott Jagow. We've made it clear how fast China's economy is growing. Keep in mind, this is a capitalist economy in what was a red country to the bone. But communism dies hard. And commentator Robert Reich says some things remain the same.
Some of you may remember when the world was divided between communism and capitalism, and the Chinese were communists. They still call themselves communists, but now they're also capitalists. In fact, visit China today and you'll find the most dynamic capitalist nation in the world. It's the manufacturing hub of the globe. It's also moving quickly into the highest of high technologies. It already graduates more computer engineers every year than the United States. Its cities are booming. Building cranes are everywhere. At the rate it's growing, in 3 decades, China will be the largest economy in the world. Communists, as in communal? Are you kidding? The gap between China's rich and poor is turning into a chasm. China's innovators, investors, and captains of industry are richly rewarded. They live in luxury housing developments lined with McMansions. China's poor live in a different world altogether. Mao Zedong would turn in his grave. So where are the Chinese communists? In government. The Communist Party is the only party there is. China doesn't have freedom of speech or freedom of the press. It doesn't tolerate dissent. Authorities can arrest and imprison people who threaten stability, as the party defines it. Any group that dares to protest is treated brutally. There are no civil liberties, no labor unions, no centers of political power outside the Communist Party. China shows that when it comes to economics, the dividing line among the world's nations is no longer between communism and capitalism. Capitalism has won hands down. The real dividing line is political, and is between democracy and authoritarianism. China is a capitalist economy with an authoritarian government. For years, we've assumed that capitalism and democracy fit hand in glove. You can't have one without the other. That's why a key element of American foreign policy toward China has been to encourage free trade, direct investment, and open markets. As China becomes more prosperous and integrated into the global market, so American policymakers have thought, it will also become more democratic. Well, maybe we've been a bit naive. It's true that democracy needs capitalism. Try to think of a single democracy in the world that doesn't have a capitalist economy. But China shows that the reverse may not be true. Capitalism is thriving there without democracy.
Former Labor Secretary Robert Reich will be back soon with another edition of The Public's Business. Join us all next week as Kai Ryssdal travels to China. We'll be broadcasting live from Shanghai, the country's financial capital. Kai's also blogging from China. You can check it out at marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for listening. Have a great day.
American Public Media.
For years, one Chicago neighborhood...
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like...
What is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.